welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 78, by the way, on May 3rd, 2004. And we're recording right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we will be talking about building and repairing, maintaining, all designed, of course, with blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Byam by the Carton Show.
Hey there, Thomas.
How are you doing, buddy?
Man, oh, on a fine day like this, couldn't be doing anything but good.
It's certainly nice to have you with us. Don Patterson, how are you?
Oh, number 78. I thought that was my old football number or something. nice to be here.
Well, you're big enough for that number. I can say that.
Back then, though, I weighed 100 pounds soaking wet.
Oh, okay. My name's Tom Houston, by the way. But ladies and gentlemen, the creator and the producer of The Blind Handyman. Here he is. Let's really hear it for Phil Palmer.
Yeah, really, really hear it. At the time, at the time we needed a football player, you weren't big enough to be.
That's right.
I only be a football player. You were a wrestler, though, weren't you? I remember.
Yeah.
You were on the wrestling team.
Mediocrity.
Is that right?
Yeah. But Tom Houston and I today were talking about, and I said, I noticed you were getting a little portly, and Tom said he thought that came with affluence. And I told him, mine struck me a little ahead of affluence.
He said that you were getting a little portly?
No, we said that you were.
That I was getting a little portly?
A little punch out there. We noticed your profile was...
I guess it's sticking out there.
Yeah, it's kind of protruding.
Leading with your middle.
And Houston surmised that came with affluence.
Yeah.
I told him mine happened a little earlier than that.
Yeah, well, we won't discuss who has the largest tummy implant here. We won't go into that. Our pictures, we don't have our pictures on the website yet, do we? We don't have a website yet.
Well, no, we don't. But you can. We do on the list page, though.
You can see pictures of us?
Yeah, there are pictures of us up
there. No kidding, I didn't
realize. Blind Handyman website.
I didn't realize it.
Yahoo Groups website?
The blind like me website or the blind handyman?
The blind handyman website.
Okay, and you'll see pictures of us.
Yep.
Yeah, the good looking one is me, folks.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
The good looking one is Emily. But anyway, her picture's not there, is it?
No.
We didn't put our wives' pictures?
No.
That's probably better. anyway.
You're probably right.
I don't know.
Welcome to... it just hadn't been a good day.
We're being naughty today.
I stayed up all night and read a book, and so consequently I slept this morning. And it's just hard. Boy, it takes me a long time to get awake these days. It's just
reading
those Audible books.
Give them a good plug.
Audible is a great service. It costs too much. And by the way, boy, I told you that if you miss your books, you miss them. You lose them.
Yeah, you lose them. But, you know, talking about the price, so if you go low to pricing some audiobooks around on the net, though, it's a fine deal, though, because, man, the Audible books are pretty expensive. So.
Yeah, they are. And you can get, I think, $20, $19.95 a month to get two books.
Two books.
And, of course, you read a lot more than two books, but you put those with your APH books that you get. And it's a pretty good deal. Audible. They won't give me any discount for plugging them, but they're good people. But anyway, I don't know what we're gonna. We got email today.
We have some list mail.
List mail.
We certainly do. It says, "Hi, I joined the list a few weeks ago because I was hoping to get some tips from other blind people on how to do some of the tasks around the house."
Well, you will.
Instead of having to pay or wait for other family members to assist, now my question probably seems a bit trivial given the skills of others here, but never mind. I recently discovered the guttering around the house has become clogged with the sandy stuff from the roof. Now, the roof, I think, is Docramask, and we assume that's a brand name, though I'm not sure how to spell that. Anyway, it has tiny bits of sand on it, but obviously over time the rain is washing this away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it has all landed in the guttering along the edge of the house and is blocking drain pipes. Can anyone suggest an easy way to remove it all? I'm thinking if I get something like a trowel, I can scoop it all out by hand, but perhaps there's a simpler and faster way. It seems to be in some guttering and not others, so could it be influenced by the way the water runs off the roof?
Yes. Okay. No question about that. But if, you know, you could get a shop vac, I guess, but the easiest way is I just push it all down the gutter and then take a water hose. They make this thing that goes on the end of a water hose. We've talked about this before. That enlarges. When you put it on the end of a water hose and you turn the water on it, it blows up like a balloon. And they make a big one that's about 4 inches across. And stick that water hose down in the gutter with this thing on the end of it. This thing probably costs $5 at the hardware store. And you just screw it on the end of your water hose. It's 4 unstopping drains. And that's the way I'd handle that. I just, you know, take a whisk broom or a trowel or what and get it all down to the actual pipe and then blow it out. What do you think, guys?
Well, I agree with you. You know, depending on how high the gutters are, I used to be a climber and nothing feared me except when I moved to Allendale, and the gutters in the back were 8 feet off the ground, the gutters in front were 12 feet.
Yeah.
So if you can climb up there, yeah, in fact, I wouldn't even do the trowel. I'd try to unstop each end, the drain, the downspouts first with your little hose connection. Then I would just take a nozzle on a hose and wash the, you know, instead of scooping,
sure.
I'd just like
just
get
wash
on one
it all
end
down.
Of the house, wash it one way, and then get on the other and wash it. But you need to unclog those downspouts first.
Yeah, because if you don't, that'd be the easiest way to. How else would you unclog a downspout? The only other
take
way,
take them apart.
That's what I was going to say. The only other way would be
pain.
Take the clamps off and take them apart.
Yep.
But this guy's probably young enough. Before I, you know, when I was up until I was 55 or so, and you the same way, nothing. I feared no roof. Scared me. Make any difference how high it was. If I want an antenna put up, I just got up there and put it up. But I've gotten too old to do it. We assume that this guy's not as old as we are.
Well, and also, you know, he was talking about the sand or grit, or it was what Don Shaw was talking about earlier on his. Obviously, it goes where the water flows. But if you don't have any, I guess maybe the older the roof, you know, like where's Dale Campbell when you need him?
Yeah.
The older the roof, this may accumulate more. But at some point, it may not be so bad. I mean, I don't know if the age of the roof, it was a new roof or something, you may have a little bit and then not so much. I know Emily, out where we live, we don't have any trees, and she's commented on, oh boy, this is going to be neat. We don't have any leaves to clog up the gutters, but we have a new roof. And I'm sure that in some of our gutters, we're going to be faced with the same
situation.
For
a while, you will be.
Well, you know, this could be indicative of some damage. You might get up there and look and see get somebody to come and look and see what your shingles look like, what kind of shape they're in, because Doc Day was talking about this may be symptomatic of some hail damage or some kind of damage that you got on your roof if you're getting a lot of this stuff. But if you, like that valley at your pool, Chaw, over there, you're going to get a lot of that stuff in that washing down, you know.
It washes down.
Yeah, but you're going to have somebody come look in.
But it really didn't before the hailstorm. That's the deal. So, you know, this has just started like after that. So
let me think. That house, we put a roof. George put a roof on that house when he, Natalie, lived there. That was probably, when did you live there? 96, Houston?
Yeah, you were there during 95. You were there when we moved up here in 96, so you were there at that time.
So I think that roof was put on that house.
Just before I was there.
About 94. George put a roof on that house in about 1994.
10-year-old roof.
So it's a 10-year-old roof, and I'm sure it's at least a 20-year-old. I don't remember what kind of shingles we bought, but it's at least a 20-year-old roof. So unless you got some damage, you should be able to get 10 more years out of that roof. But as far as this stuff washing down, I'd get up there and look at my roof or get somebody to. You might have to get somebody. But you talk about joining the list to learn things. Almost anything you want to know, you can post to that list, and there's going to be somebody on the list who's done it or knows somebody that's done it or knows something about it.
That's right.
So if you want to know about how to do things without sight, that's the place to be, the blindhandyman@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
Exactly. And that's Dale. Remember Dale from Canada up there? He had a post.
Dale Levins.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And he was saying there was a special attachment they had. They could put on a hose up there and wash them out.
Yeah.
So,
there's one that you can actually stand on the ground. It goes on your water hose, and it's kind of U-shaped.
Yeah.
And goes up over the gutter, but I don't. You'd have to have some
swift
vision.
That'd be pretty hard for a blind person.
You may have to have some kind of vision to use it.
But that'd be pretty cool.
I'd say blind person, just get you a stepladder and get up there and do it.
Yeah.
You know. I've done that before with a cup, and that's the slow way to do it, by hand with a whisk broom and a cup. But that is the slow way. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that says, hi, everyone. I have a AA battery charger for 4 batteries. Unfortunately, I tried to charge 2 batteries that are not rechargeable. Unfortunately, the battery is leaked acid.
Yeah.
So no lights go on for the charger. Is there a way to clean battery acid out of there from Kathleen?
Away. Throw it away.
Well, that's what I would do, because you can get a new one for $10 or so.
Throw it away. I'd throw it away. You know, how would you clean that battery acid? That'd be quite a project, Kathleen. If anybody knows. But it seemed like there were some other posts on the list.
There was, and I got one off, and it said, try a can of Coke.
You know, we've been through this.
That worked on car.
Yeah, that works on car batteries.
Car batteries.
You can clean the posts on car batteries. They always said you could. But, when we first started the Blind Andy Man, I was talking about this crescent wrench I've got that's frozen.
Yeah.
It's still frozen. Coke did not. I mean, it's frozen. It's just real sticky now.
Yeah.
Because I let it sit in Coke for about 2 weeks, and that didn't help. Yeah. So I'm not sure that Coke, I just throw it away and get another
one. $10, which that's what I paid for my EverReady.
Throw it away and get another.
It's been a great charger. And
I leave today, let me take your crescent wrench with me. I had a couple, and I put them in diesel and let them set 24 hours. Well, after some muscling and going this way
and
that way.
You got some diesel in a can for that?
Yes, I do.
Well, remember Barsol?
Yeah, I think it's available still, and that's about what it's. It was a solvent like similar, I think, to diesel.
Yeah, it's a diesel. Well, remind me to give you my crescent wrench. All right. Okay, Tommy.
Okay, Ray writes, hi. What is the best site to go to on the web to check out talking tools for the handyman? I'm interested in a talking tire gauge, a talking dipstick, which tells you how much oil you have in your deer engine. Regards, Ray.
I don't know that there is a talking dipstick, is there?
I know a few talking dipsticks.
may have married.
The obvious laugh.
The old dipstick.
The old dipstick.
Well, you got to get them where you can.
You got to get them when you can.
Yeah.
When you can.
What a deal.
I don't know that there is a talking. Is there a talking dipstick?
I don't know of a talking dipstick.
Yeah.
But in order to get a tire gauge, all you have to do is go to Sears.
They've got talking tire gauges.
Real good talking tire gauge.
Well, there was a response to that on the list, and this fella, and I'm not sure his name is Al, okay? He says go to your nearest Radio Shack for the talking tire gauge. They work great, but knowing Radio Shack, they will probably discontinue them. So you may want to buy two while you can.
That's a possibility. Well,
they're great gifts for even sighted people, he said.
They'll discontinue them and they'll be out of them, but you think Sears has this talking tire gauge?
Sure.
I think it's a different one than the one I got. Seems like I've got two now. Somebody gave me one for my birthday or something. So I think I've got a second one now. The original one I had was really the neatest one. But Sharper Image has them, or I think all the blind catalogs have them. Did you know that Eckert Drug has a talking thermometer, like you put in your mouth and take your temperature?
Oh, sure.
And it's not made for blind people. I mean, it's just cheap, too.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it interesting? You know that Sears doesn't sell tire gauges just for blind people.
No.
And, that's what they were talking, ever since, like, Jaws and Keynote Companions and talking computers, synthesized speech, police departments, small, are using them in their cars. I mean, one-man cars now, and he can sit and hear his radio and be out addressing his prisoner at the same time, and so that is amazing that even sighted people use talking.
Well, the synthesized voice is so good now. All of Noah Weather Radio is, almost all of it now is synthesized voices.
Right.
And it's funny because in different markets you hear different
voices.
They have a choice of what voice they use, I guess. One of them is a female voice that is it's the best female synthesized voice I've ever heard.
Yeah, they're getting that wired down really well.
Something else about talking stuff. Talking levels. Now, where did we get those? They're in all the blind catalogs, aren't they?
Yeah, LS&S Group. And, oh, God, there's a lot of them around that have those.
But if you know of a talking dipstick, other than the ones we know about, let me... I don't know why I'd want one. I don't do anything with oil, but I'd have to have one anyway.
Just have to try one.
Oh, you'd have to try one. What else, Tommy?
Anyway, Charles writes, before I search for some charts for this, does anyone know the gauge for a wire with cross-sectional measure or the diameter of 14 thousandths of an inch, and also for 65 ten thousandths of an inch?
Anyone know the gauge of wire?
The gauge for wire.
Well, what's his next question?
Boy, they get into some stuff. And you think, you know, all this blind handyman list is not nailing two before us together.
That's right.
They got
That's
into some stuff the other day that was so far beyond me that I just, you know, deleted it.
Who cares, Charles? Who cares?
wonder what he's building.
He'd be, I have no
it'd be
idea.
Interesting to know.
Well, he'd be a good guest. We need to have him on as a guest and really, really embarrass us all. You know, we're good at putting washers and faucet and nailing tuba for us together. But other than that, that's about as far as our expertise goes. You know?
Yep.
Are we ready for a break?
Yes, sir. Our guest,
close. Be that time.
Our
pretty
guest close. Today is a girl that we ran across on the blind handyman list who does some handyman projects herself. I called her. The first time I called her, she was fighting with her stove burners, trying to electric stove burners, putting them back in. Somebody had put them in wrong, and she was unhappy. So her name is Darla Dahl, and we're going to have her along in just a minute with more of our Blind Handyman Show. Stand by. Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this blind handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as blind like me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done, even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
That is our announcer, Jan Moon. We hadn't had Jan on in a long time for some reason. I don't know. Jan, we're sorry if we've slighted you. But our guest today is a lady named Darla Dahl. How are you?
I'm just fine. How's everybody else?
Well, great. For a bunch of old men sitting around, we're actually doing pretty good. Tom Houston is here, Don Shaw and Don Patterson, and I'm Phil Parr, and you and I have talked together. And I said the first time I talked to you, you were fighting with the burners on your electric stove, remember?
Yes.
Trying to get them back in. Who had messed them up, you?
No, they were messed up when I moved in here.
One of those deals, huh?
So it's somebody else's fault, but then isn't everything, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. All right, let's ask a little bit about you. You said you came home from work early, so obviously you have a job.
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a full-time senior rehabilitation specialist with the Florida Department of Blind Services.
Senior rehabilitation specialist. Now, what does that entail? You have to help us out.
I have a caseload of about 90 blind and visually impaired clients, and the clients on my caseload all want to go to work or are working and need our help to stay working. And in addition to that, we spend about 8 hours a week doing job placement / development, even though we have a customer service specialist that also assists us with this.
Okay, and these are seniors who have lost their eyesight and would still like to be gainfully employed doing something.
I know. Mine are all working age.
Oh, you're all working age.
The oldest one I have now, 69.
Okay. So these are all working age blind people.
Correct.
And this is the equivalent of the State Commission for the Blind, or what?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you help them find jobs or help them keep jobs or
right.
train them?
Arrange the services they need to keep jobs, like independent living skills training or training with assistive technology or purchase of equipment or helping the employer to understand how a blind person operates on the job.
So if I was in Florida, you would be my counselor or my agent from the commission?
Yeah, if you lived in Leon County and the six other counties I have, yeah.
Leon County. Wow. What cities do you have?
I have A through M in Leon County. I have all of Madison County, Jefferson, Hamilton, Suwanee, Lafayette.
Are there any cities in those counties that we would have heard of?
Perry, Florida, and Madison, Florida.
Okay, what part of the state?
North. Florida.
Okay, Tallahassee.
So, smaller towns.
Yeah.
Smaller towns.
Tallahassee is most assuredly the biggest city in our region.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this?
My 6-month anniversary will be a week from today.
Oh, so you're still a newbie there,
yeah.
Huh? They're still evaluating you, trying to figure out whether they like you or not. What is your level of vision, Vicki?
I'm totally blind. I have light perception in both eyes, but that's it.
And your name is not Vicki, by the way, is it? It's
no.
Darla. That's why I called you.
What a deal.
Get a grip. You're
man.
Pathetic. We're just a bunch of old men, like I said. But we found you on the blind handyman list, so obviously you're interested in doing other things.
Projects.
In doing projects, right?
Absolutely, especially when it saves me money.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you indicated that your fiancé has a place of his own.
He does.
And so y'all are doing some repairs there, doing some...
Actually, it's brand new, and most of the building has been done, but, you know, I'm going to be the one that does all the washer changing and that kind of stuff. I mean, hey, why should I pay somebody to do what I can do for myself?
I agree.
That's exactly right. So you've done washer changing. You're familiar with...
I've put plumbing back together, you know, toilet insides. I mean, at least the old metal stuff that you could still put together.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much now, if the plastic guts die, they tell you you just need to replace it all.
Oh, yeah, just replace the whole thing now.
Yep.
Just take it all out and report. Have you done this since you were just, how long have you been blind, by the way?
Since
you were born blind and you have no, light perception?
Yes.
Just light perception. How'd you get into this sort of thing? Your parents or your...
No, I think that just living by myself and not always having somebody to call, I just learned how to do certain things.
Figured out
what I don't know how to do, I
just had to do it.
Show me how or tell me how.
Yeah. And who began showing you how? Your father or your...
We did a little bit at the rehabilitation center in Elkhart. They taught us a few things.
But really?
Basically, I learned most of it on my own.
Yeah, because they kind of shy away from teaching blind people to use mechanical things, tools and stuff like that.
Yeah, I noticed even at our center in Daytona, they didn't really talk about that. And now that we're talking about it now, I think that's something I need to put on my comment sheet to ask if they teach that sort of thing and how much.
Well, any newly blinded person that you might run across there at your job, if you will, be sure and point them towards our list that they get a lot of good information there.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we felt like blind people's faucets leak just as often as sighted people's, and they need to know how to repair them. So I guess you got it somewhere in your condo or your apartment. There's your house. There's a toolbox.
Yep.
The normal hammer and a few nails and screws and screwdrivers.
Yep, I don't have any power tools yet. I'm thinking about asking for a power drill for my birthday.
I think that's a good idea.
A good thing to start off with would be a drill, battery.
It's a good thing because you can use them now. You know, I don't know why it took us so long, but when I was little, my father never used. But now a drill is a screwdriver. I mean, you don't.
Oh yeah.
Oh, definitely.
You put screws in with drills or hex bolts in or whatever you want to with your. I think that'd be a good thing. A nice.
Well, it's a good all-purpose tool. I mean, it is good for so many things.
Sure is.
Yeah, a nice. May I recommend Makita? I've had great luck with my Makita drill. I love it. It costs too much.
Yeah, my ex had pretty much all Makita tools actually.
It costs too much, but then what the heck?
But they do tend to last well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I would think that would be a good thing to ask for you. So you don't have any power tools at all. So if you undo you take something apart, you have to do it with your with brute strength. How about cars? You fool with cars or
no?
Never did do that.
Cars.
But you
people
know,
never believe me when I tell them something's wrong with their car. But if I ride in a car enough, I know when it doesn't sound right.
Really?
One thing on the power tools, Darla, I mean, you said you didn't own any. I'll tell you, they make some nifty ratchet tools that are just, by golly, pretty good. You know, ratchet wrenches, even little box wrenches and ratchet screwdrivers and everything. So in lieu of power, they're not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, handy
to
have around the house.
Craftsman makes some pretty good stuff like that.
Actually, Craftsman makes, I don't know if anybody else makes these. He was talking about box-in. I've got a set of box-in wrenches that I'm very protective of that are ratchet wrenches.
Right.
I don't know how I live without them. You know, and I've got several ratchet screwdrivers. In fact, my brother-in-law lately lost one of my ratchet wrenches. I made him go to Sears and buy a whole new set, so I got two sets now.
Is this the same brother-in-law you've been dealing with for?
Same brother-in-law. They spent all day. After our break, I'll tell you about something they built in the shop that was actually pretty neat this weekend. They built a thing called you've heard the word catapult?
Yes, I know what one is.
Well, I didn't. I do now. They built one over the weekend.
Oh, and my goodness.
It wasn't blind friendly in that it throws golf balls. But by God, it'll chuck a golf ball.
Really?
Yeah, and we'll talk about how they built this. But you don't teach any of your clients, have you taught any of your you're not a home teacher though, are you? You don't go to people's.
No, but I've taught other blind people. Like a friend of mine freaked out once when we lost power, and I said, "Well, there's got to be a breaker box in here someplace." And we found it and had the power going. It was the weirdest breaker box I've ever seen, but I did get it to work.
Now, this was in somebody else's house because
it had
been in your house, you already knew where the breaker box was.
I know exactly where the breaker box is.
That's weird because that's one of the first things I do when
I. Me too.
You know, back when I was moving in an apartment because I got asked to leave a lot of apartments.
Hmm?
Because we played music, and they would like for I had an upright bass that I played, and
oh God, will that get me kicked out of here? Now there's a thought.
Oh man, it will. Trust me, playing music line will get you in. So every time I went in an apartment, the first thing I did was figure out where the breaker box is, in case the fridge went off, or in case And so you can listen to a car and tell a lot about it by how it.
Yeah, I can tell if the motor doesn't sound just right or if the belts are starting to squeak or the brakes are starting to drag.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People that know me well that I've ridden in their car a lot will listen to me. But
well, you're blind. How could you know that, you know?
I just know when the car doesn't feel and sound like it usually does.
Yesterday, if you tell my wife I told this, I'll be dead. Our phones weren't working quite. We have two lines coming into our house, and occasionally, when the weather gets damp, those lines get crossed. It gets a little arc place or a little path somewhere that crosses those lines, and you can kind of hear one on the other. She said, she went up, looked around at all the phones, and she said, maybe there was a phone kind of off the hook.
Kind of.
Don't tell her. I said,
she didn't say
the phone
maybe
is
out of party line.
The phone is phone is either off the hook or it ain't. You know, they ain't kind of. Maybe it was a little off the hook. And they, you know, I don't know whether surely she wasn't thinking. She knows better than that, doesn't she?
I think she was funning.
When you're frustrated, you say crazy things.
I think she was just greening me a little bit.
She's a pretty intelligent lady.
She's a very intelligent lady, but then how intelligent could she be? She married me. How smart could she be? You're obviously not married.
No.
Never have been.
Well, she has a fiancé.
Yeah. But you have a fiancé, so you don't have any children.
No.
Oh. Well, that prevents a lot of problems, not having kids. Mine are grown and gone. All of us, ours are grown and gone, so we don't have that to worry about.
Man, except Demi's are grown and coming back.
We don't. Neither of us have any kids to come back, so
is that right?
That's pretty good.
All right.
But just from hearing you talk on the list, now, you are the one that has the really tough landlord, aren't you?
Yes.
That's one
tell
thing you do have.
Tell us about that. Do what now?
She just sent me another nasty letter.
What have you done that she doesn't like?
Well, the dryer vent hose is come undone, and she wants to charge me to fix that. And I just said, don't worry about it. A neighbor's going to come and help me do it.
Why don't you do it?
I can't quite get back there, and I don't... Well, I think I can tell you what it is. I don't think... I've got carpal tunnel syndrome, and I can't get the... Can't hold the hose over the vent and get that little thing tightened around it good enough.
Why don't you move, Darla?
What?
Why don't you move?
Well, I'm in a lease right now.
How long?
We're working on that.
Well, we'll send you some cassettes of Phil playing bass.
And you can play on your stereo.
Crank it up.
Absentee landlord.
And so you can't get hold the hose on there and put the clamp around there but she wants to charge you to have somebody come and do it.
For somebody to come by and spend 2 minutes to do it.
It's a simple thing to do. If you know...
The other thing is this room is very, very tiny, and it's very, very close quarters.
Yeah. Well, of course, those hoses, you understand, are flex hose.
Right.
You can move the dryer out and maybe get back there better. I mean, there's no way you're going to reach over the top.
Well, I think that... We may have to move the washer out as well to do it. I don't know.
So, Darla, just curiosity, is she just nasty to you or all of her tenants?
I'm not really sure.
See, that would bug me if I thought she was, just particularly nasty here. But, I mean, if she's just disagreeable to everyone.
I think she's just a disagreeable person, personally. And we don't see her too often. Because she lives in Panama City.
Yeah, obviously, if you're in a little cubbyhole, like a studio, I mean, something's going to have to come out so you can get behind that dryer.
I know I can't move the washer by myself.
Well, the only thing about a sighted person is they're going to want to see back there, so they're going to want to move a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they're going to have to scoot them forward. The neat thing is, empty, they're not really, if you sit out, the way I move that kind of stuff is sit down on the floor in front of it. And you can
That's a much easier way to move it.
You can scoot it. You sit down on the floor in front of the machine that you're trying to move, and you can scoot it. And somebody going to fix it doesn't need 8, 10 inches.
The problem is
these
are in a room that's about, 18 inches wide? No, however wide a washer is.
Right.
Or maybe an inch or so wider than that. And it's about... maybe a foot of space between the two, and they sit facing each other. Nothing simple here, okay? Whoa.
Well, Darla, no matter how many tickets you send, we're not coming to Florida.
Wait a minute. They sit facing each other?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different.
Yeah, I know. That's like a studio, a little apartment type. I know what she's talking about.
I never saw that.
I hadn't either.
Facing each
other. One on the left, one on the right, facing each other.
With a tiny little area between to walk.
Yeah. And then the refrigerator's right there, and it's I don't know what they were thinking when they did
Well, most, like my Sunset house, if something goes wrong with the air conditioner, I only have one rent. We had several rent houses. We're down to one now. But if something goes wrong with the air conditioner, that's my responsibility if I own the house.
Well, so I said. And that's what I just emailed and told her, that the blinds out to the patio, you can get them pulled across, but the louvers won't close.
Mm-hmm. Might be a good time to move.
I'd love to move.
But you've got a lease and you can't.
Nowadays, though, there are some renter protection agencies. You might try to contact.
Yes, I've got some phone numbers
that I'm going to be calling
tomorrow. I was out of town all last week, so I was trying to spend the day trying to catch up and making sure that clients had everything they needed, because some things, my boss has even gone for a while, and they're only things I can approve.
That's right. You went and you did training all last week.
Yeah, I was in Daytona.
Yeah. What did you do before you got this job with the commission?
I worked as a VR counselor in the state of Georgia under the Department of Labor.
What is your degree in?
Rehabilitation counseling. Master's, and my bachelor's is in social science with a health education minor.
So you spent a lot of time in school, haven't you?
Yeah, as an older student,
Do you have teacher certification?
No.
Okay, that would have been... No. See, that was my problem. I didn't either, and I guarantee you, you could, you know, they're needing teachers everywhere. Yeah.
So you bummed around a long time before you decided to get serious and go to college.
Yeah,
right?
I worked, but they were all kind of menial jobs that didn't really require a lot of brain power. And when I moved to Oregon, I finally decided that since I was kind of at a crossroads in my life, that I was going to go back to school.
Yeah.
So you've lived a lot of places.
I have.
Oregon and
Florida.
Georgia,
California,
so just,
Oregon, North Carolina.
Seeing what's going on? Or
sorry?
Just checking out the country or what?
Kind of.
How about I call you in a couple, 3 weeks, and we do a blind like me, and we'll talk about all
this. I was just thinking about that.
You'd be real good for that.
Great guest.
All right. We're going to go look at your tools. Go to Sears and buy you a drill. But actually, don't buy a drill from Sears because they'll discontinue it if you do. I've got two Sears drills I paid $150 a piece for, and they've discontinued them. I can't buy batteries. Buy a Makita. Buy a good, you know, real drill.
Yes, and Makita's a good drill.
If you're
going to
buy one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good luck, and hope your landlord problem works out all right. It'll work out one way or the other. You're old enough to know that, right?
Yeah, but I intend to have the upper hand.
Well, I hope you do. Good luck.
Thank you.
Doll to doll. Thank you much, hon. We'll talk with you.
All right.
Bye-bye. More of the exciting, what is this? This is a Blind Handyman Show. Just a minute. Hang on. Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea, and I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Listening to the Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
That snuck up on me, Jan, did you? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, but I don't know where Jan's been.
It's been a while.
But I'm liking it because she called my name.
She did.
And,
she called your name.
I think we're going to talk about what, guys? Y'all
let's talk about your out at your house. Tell us your gutter story, Saturday's gutter story. What happened Saturday? Back to Saturday, and the rain...
Oh, the rains came. This wasn't a gutter story, but... Uh-oh, hang on. We'll let this phone identify itself.
Yeah, let me unplug that. It's
and then maybe somebody out there will want to call this number.
Yeah.
But Well, out at the place, I've gotten the grass in. I think I've told everybody I've put out about 18 pallets of grass, and so I was real proud. And I was the last few little squares of grass. I was going along the side of the driveway out by the street, and we have the culvert in. I think it's probably 14-inch or 16-inch culvert.
Yeah. Standard.
16 feet long, yeah, standard size. And then we had a guy come out and concrete around the end so the dirt wouldn't wash away. And then I was planting grass around this. And I was real proud of my efforts. And I had even built a little form down in this ditch-like thing to keep the grass kind of on a slope from sliding down until it took root. And then I was going to remove this form. And so somehow we had this god-awful rain last Saturday, I mean, just out of nowhere. Phil said he knew it was coming, but I sure didn't. It rained, but I mean, I didn't, you know, come on, give me a break. It rained, and then it really rained.
Really did. Well, the National Weather Service say it was, you know, it was raining. I got about four, and it was raining and pouring down rain in Dallas.
And so apparently one of my little form boards came loose from its moorings. I mean, it's not apparently, obviously, I mean, because it's gone. Now,
the word loose, that's it's an East Texas word. He means loose.
Well, it came unloose. Loose. A loose is East Texas for a loose. It got cattywampus. That means that's another East Texas term. The force of the water actually lodged it against the culvert end, and so restricting the water flow. And so the water just got higher and higher and was running over the top of my driveway, washing away my beautiful grass that I'd taken so much pride in putting down. And so I don't know if there's a moral to this story. I went out in the rain, in the lightning, in my little rain gear, and I had a metal pole, and I unlodged this.
Good idea during that thunderstorm.
Yeah, really. Unlodged the obstruction. Well, anything to save my grass.
Yeah.
And the water went down instant. I'm, you know, I couldn't believe that this had happened. I mean.
All right, moral of the story is if you're a homeowner and you're responsible, remember the blind weekend that there was water ankle deep on my back porch?
Right. Yes.
You know, same exactly, same
thing. Deal, wasn't it?
Right.
The place, Charlie, my littlest dog, at one time we thought we could keep her in, so I took a bottom of a picket and cut it off and put a piece of hardware cloth over where the picket, where Charlie, of course, Charlie is a 20-pound dog, and you're not going to keep a 20-pound dog in the yard if she wants out.
Not if they want out.
If she wants out, she's going to get out because she can get under the fence. Now, the other dog, Frankie, is 70 pounds or 80, and she weighs, she's too big.
Yeah, a whole different deal.
She's not going, it's a whole different deal.
She couldn't jump a 2-foot fence.
She wouldn't. She has to run to get on the bed. Actually, she's pretty agile for herself. Frankie ought to weigh about probably 65 pounds. She probably weighs 80 pounds. Anyway, I had this hardware cloth over where the bottom of the picket was, and some grass and stuff got against it. And, man, we had water up on it. We fixed to have water in the house.
Went right
around there, moved whatever was blocking this hole, and bingo, the water was gone in 10 seconds. I mean,
well,
it was, you know.
the thing of it is, out where we live, you know, and I'm just kind of, I'm new there, obviously, and so I'm discovering the way the water flows and has flowed, and when you build a house to start with, you've disrupted the normal water flow.
Sure.
So then you've created a new way for it to flow, and of course, water, you know, goes the least line of resistance. I know that we came home Friday before the Saturday, and I threw off, we had our trailer, and we had bought 16 bags, 40-pound bags of mulch and some garden timbers, four of them, and I didn't want to mess with carrying them where they went, so I threw them off the trailer, and actually I created a dam. And so when this big rain came, then I was actually forcing water to go where it normally didn't go.
Uh-huh.
And I had just had the water department out, and they had put a new lid on my little water meter thing. Well, it's gone. It's in, I don't know, Houston County or wherever from here, because it's gone.
Really? And it just came off and went away?
Yeah,
washed away.
The other night, I'll mention a name that we all know. Paul Abney was talking about the same thing. His son, Jeffrey, lives. He runs a little hardware store here. Lives a quarter of a mile from me. And we were talking about the same thing. You cannot control or rearrange Mother Nature. He said that the 5 acres that Jeffrey bought, the son, they filled in a creek, a gully. They had a contractor, I mean a guy that claimed he knew what he was doing, and big front-end loaders and excavators, wow. And they filled it in. He said it lasted about 6 months.
And it washed it back out.
Washing it back out. Yeah, and so man. With me, I've just about captured all of the places that the waters go. But when I blocked off this one exit... Uh-huh. Accidentally, this board got in the way. Well, I had big problems.
Water crossed the driveway.
Yeah.
And so you're out there slogging around.
Yeah, in the lightning and
yeah, of course. Because
it meant something to me. I mean, it's like...
Well, lightning doesn't... I mean, you know, lightning doesn't bother me, really. I mean, lightning's not going to... Well, the chances of getting struck by lightning are minuscule. Your chances on the Southwest Freeway are a hell of a lot worse
than they
would be for lightning. So, you know, my thinking is if you're blind and you have a house and you have, you know, go out there when it's raining
you
and figure
see
out...
about what's going
figure
on?
Out yeah. where the water goes and where it's supposed to go and where it's backing up. And fix things like that because you can get. We almost got in trouble.
Yeah, you get in trouble quickly.
It scared me when I went out. John Bennett said, "Boy, I don't mean to bother anybody, but there's water ankle deep on the back porch."
I'm waiting.
Yeah,
and of course he would know because he's barefooted.
That was back when he smoked, and he was out on the back porch smoking cigarettes, hoping for the best.
And when he heard fizz, when he threw
his cigarette, he dropped his cigarette, and it went. You know, like they do.
We knew there was a problem.
And it was. It was water. It wasn't quite ankle deep, but it was over one's house shoes.
And it was coming up quick.
It was coming up real quick. But that was the blind weekend that it rained and everybody moved and it rained for 3 days. And I don't know. Does everybody doesn't have rains like we have sometimes? I suppose, but you know, if you have a house, go out there and look. Rather than wait until you get water in the house and then have to call somebody, go out and figure out where the water's going and see what you can do about it.
Well, from the bottom of the ditch, I mean, we don't have a big deal, but from the bottom of the ditch to the top of the culvert is probably 32 inches. I mean, so. And I had water over that shouldn't have been there. I mean, it just, you know, because it's 300 feet from the house or 200 feet.
You weren't going to get water in the house, but you were going to lose a lot of grass.
But I was going to lose a lot of my hard work, and my dirt was just washing down, and it was something actually that I had caused, you know, but the board got away, so.
And you went out there and figured out what the deal was.
I solved it, yeah. I mean,
you didn't know when you went.
I did not know. I knew something. I said... How come there's more water on this side of the culvert and there's not any on this side? I mean, coming out like it should.
So you realized that the culvert was...
Something blocked it.
Yeah. Yeah, that something blocked it.
So I just took a pole. I mean, I have this... Actually, I have... It's a foot edger. I don't know if you've ever seen one, Don. It's an edger. It's an oval...
I've seen one.
...half circle on a pole... And you step on it.
When you edge around your sidewalk. I've seen them.
I've never seen that.
Well, anyway, I took this and kind of prodded around, and I got the board loose. But believe it or not, people talk about the force of water.
Yeah,
it grabbed it away. I mean, it wanted to take that away from me.
Wow.
Yeah, water can be powerful, and you can get water in the house without realizing. If you got a house, you need to figure out what's going on and where the water goes. Anyway... Let me tell you about this deal they built. I've heard he was catapulted into office. This catapulted him to success. Well, what the hell's a catapult? Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, I had never.
Now, you know, being totally blind, I've never seen one. You've seen them on TV, I guess, or you've never been around one.
I've seen them in movies.
But you've seen them in movies, and so if you're totally blind, you never see one.
Exactly.
What this is, let me tell you how they did this, and you can tell me how one is really made. What this is a, let's see, it's a little platform, and on one end, say it's an oblong platform, say it's 3 feet long, and this one was probably 8 inches wide and 3 feet long. On one end of it was a box, and this box was standing on end. This box was probably 2 feet tall, and it was standing on end. With the open side toward the platform. In other words, it was on the end of the platform with the open side of the box toward the long side, toward the length of the platform. Down in there was a piece of board that was that had a bolt through each side of the box and through it, so it was a trigger. It came up. You'd lay the golf ball in the top of this. The actual trigger had a piece of elastic around it that tied to each side of the box. So when you pull this trigger back almost vertical, the elastic was stretched, and then you let it go, and this golf ball goes 50 or 60 feet. And I guess that's how they work, isn't it?
Yeah, that's close.
You're the only one's ever seen one.
Well, no, but I could tell you a perfect description.
Okay,
Go
ahead.
You remember the seesaws at the blind school?
Uh-huh.
All right, if they hadn't hit the ground, if you could have stood that seesaw up vertically.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, if you would have put weight, all right, say you had it propped up there, and you had a way, or not quite vertical, not quite at 90 degrees, say at 80 degrees, and you put a stone on the one end that was close to the ground, and then you had some weight mechanism that pulled the other end down,
uh-huh.
And flings. That's what it does. It just means, a catapult, it means it was flung. He was flung into office. And that was an old warrior. But that's the closest description I could think of. If a seesaw didn't go just down at a 45-degree angle, if you could stand it up and then you had a way to propel the end that was down up at high force, that would be a catapult.
It would throw something.
It would throw something.
They used, of course, there wasn't any, in thousands of years ago when they used these as tools of war, which they mm-hmm. did, right? The catapult would come and destroy your fort, right?
Right. You see? Yeah, and they would use counterweights and counterweights. In other words, you would put a weight that you wanted to throw, and then you either had some way to winch it down, or you had the horses. I guess I'm not certain how they got this, but you would put the projectile that you wanted to throw,
yeah.
And then you would counterbalance that with greater force to bring that end down that would fling your missile.
That's the intended target.
Yeah, the intended
target. Well, these guys were just throwing little old golf balls, and it was a pretty neat. They spent all day building it.
It's a school project.
It's a school project. That's exactly what it is,
exactly.
A school project. I couldn't figure out how Daddy building it was going to help them learn anything, but I guess they were helping him. They used all my wood glue, and they were out in the shop. I don't know what they did.
Was
but
this
I
your favorite
left.
Brother-in-law?
This is my only brother-in-law. Yeah. No, it's my favorite brother-in-law.
What it strange is. That you can change wives, but you can't change brother-in-laws.
No, I love my brother-in-law. I'm too old to change wives. I wouldn't anyway.
You can't divorce your brother-in-law?
No. My brother-in-law's my bud. Anyway, they spent all day in the shop sanding and building on this thing, and it looked pretty simple to me. But Luann came up with a... Of course, this trigger that they pull down that's pulling against this elastic, that they pull it down and they let it go and it flings this golf ball, throws a golf ball. The trigger has to hit something, so they put some rubber foam up against this box where the thing doesn't hit.
Right.
It just hits. I mean, I guess they took it to school and demonstrated it. I guess they threw golf balls all over the playground today. I don't know what the other kids built, but this was John and Chase and some other kid through his three children involved in building this thing, and it was all day Saturday's project. I don't know what they'd done if I hadn't had a wood shop. What would they have done? I had never seen, I'd heard the word catapult all my life, and I knew kind of what it meant, but I never had seen a catapult.
Yeah.
And now I have. That makes me, would that come under the rubric of education?
I think so. Go on the internet and type in the history of catapults.
And you'd learn.
You'd learn about
all
learn
sorts of
war-making equipment.
Helped. But I don't understand.
It was the predecessor to the cannon, or artillery, actually. I mean, the knights.
Was the catapult.
Yeah. This is the catapult. And on aircraft carriers, believe it or not, where you can land a plane and catch it, but you can't take one off, and they have a steam catapult, they call it. It is like putting the airplane in a thing that shoots it. Oh, it's steam-powered, hydraulic, has a
really?
Piston, and it shoots that jet away from the plane and takes it off.
That's where I've heard of them at, I think, is on the old aircraft carrier.
That helps, too, because there wouldn't be a runway long enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this steam-powered
Wouldn't that acceleration be just unreal if you were sitting in that plane?
Oh, man.
Man, wouldn't that be something?
Well, I think the deal of aircraft, and you miss a lot of things when you of the way they hook them when they come back. But there's a chance they're going to miss.
Yeah, they get most of them.
And, you know, but they sometimes they get them a second time.
Oh,
they,
sorry, Charlie.
You're off the end. You know,
Of the old runway.
And this plane is not amphibious, so that's just you know. And you might be mad at a guy and just not attempt to.
That's right. You know,
not bring up the big hook.
But that's that's the hell with him. We're not hooking him.
Yeah.
But that's that's one of the deals they do. They catch the plane with a hook.
Yep.
And drag it back. And they throw it off the. So, you know, that's just weird. All right. Are we through? Is this it?
I think that
about wraps up another one.
I thought I barely heard the theme under there. All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We just fooled around for an hour, number 70, whatever this was. Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Jan. I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week. I see you said the blind man as you picked up his hammer and saw.
Produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.